Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are cleared to know
the truth.
You know, I am capable of finishing my own
sentences. Yes, you are. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, this week we are investigating science, biatch. So it is the season finale for season two, and wow. I did not think that this show just surprised the bejesus out of me.
There was bejesus all over the floor in my house. It was amazing. I think I'm going to have to reevaluate everything, see how it is, but I think that this was my favorite episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far.
Wow, even more so than Fzzt.
I like the title of Fzzt better than Sauce, but the episode overall, man alive. It was a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. That's what it was.
It was. It did a number of really great things. If anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while knows that I've had my ups and downs with the show, and I thought there were parts of both seasons that were a little lacking, a little laggy, and this really, unfortunately, this is the end of the season, but this really like kicked it into high gear for me. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's go, S.H.I.E.L.D., come on, and now we got to wait 4 or 5 months. Maybe what I'll have to do is get the DVD and watch, you know, the last 4 or 5 episodes again right before it premieres to get this energy again, because it really left me on a high note for this week with all the other shows that are ending their season and stuff like this. So far, this is my favorite of the shows that like we cover and talk about and watch and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it could be. I think it might be mine too. So that's a great idea. To kind of watch the episodes, you know, before the season. And I kind of hope that the writers and producers and directors and everything, I hope they do that as well, because I don't want them to lose that momentum. You know, there wasn't really much of a – there was a cliffhanger. I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
Yeah, we'll get into all the cool stuff that happened. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us which episode we're covering? You already spoiled it. You gave the title here, Sauce.
I did. That's how you pronounce it. But let me spell it out for you in case you don't
know
how. You know, it might be a Greek root word or something. Anyway, SOS parts 1 and 2. What we're going to talk about tonight, which aired on May 12, 2015. So it was episode 21 and 22. Okay. Although they played it all as one episode. They didn't.
I could not figure out where the break would be between the two. So sometimes, you know, it's like you can tell when there's a part one because it ends with a commercial that would be at that right spot. And this one didn't seem to have that.
No, I think it was after an hour, though, is my guess.
And I feel bad. I didn't have time. Otherwise, I would have queued up some ABBA music for you while you're reading about SOS here.
Oh, well. Darn it. I you know, the listening audience is, I'm sure, is very disappointed that I won't be singing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files this week. But so
it will be
okay.
Something in post.
Okay, sounds great. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about this extra long, crunchy episode, or these two episodes, however you want to look at it, because they did have different writers and directors, so I'll kind of break it down. So part one was written by Jeffrey Bell. Part two was written by Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancheron. Part one is directed by Vincent Miziano, and part two is directed by Billy Gearhart. I didn't notice too much difference between the two halves of the episode as far as directing and writing goes. Sometimes you can really tell.
Yeah, I did. It felt like one cohesive movie to me, though, as I think about it, the second half definitely had stuff I liked more, but usually Jed and Marissa have a lot of really good humor elements, and I think some of the best Coulson stuff was in part one. So Jeffrey Bell, big kudos on all the humor elements that were in the first half.
For sure. So, well, let me tell you a little bit about this one, and then we got to get right into talking about it pretty soon here, perhaps, of course. But now, the threat of war between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans becomes a reality. As Jiaying executes her plan to get rid of the oppressive agents forever.
That's not all she executes.
Sky decides to side with her mother, of course. You know, you got, it's Mother's Day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it was just after Mother's Day. You can't say, hey, Mom, surprise. but the only reason she does it is to stop the madness before it begins. Oops! Too late. So after killing Reyna, Jiaying kind of holds Sky. She locks her up while they take over Gonzalez's carrier to get the mysterious, is it solid or liquid obelisk that they have down there. And then, of course, they're going to release the mist upon all of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, meanwhile, Bobby, she's not really able to help him. Big slacker. Not even on this mission. Thank you very much. That's because she's being held in Grant Ward's pain spa and manicure shop. Until of course she admits to Kara that she's a bad, nasty person. He's gonna hold her there. So, oh, and of course our crazy Uncle Cal. He finally goes Mr. Hyde on Coulson there, destroying the lab and an innocent SUV, I might add. But finally, there's some sanity as Mac helps defend that carrier. Hunter and May go after Bobby to rescue her. And Coulson takes the rest of the team to stop Jiaying. That about covers it, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, wait. Coulson gets his arm chopped off and stuff.
Oh, with that thing. He wasn't using that anyways.
I hope not.
No. All right. Well, that was great. You know, it's like I was just when Bobby was in Ward's, what do you call it? Pain spa and manicure shop. I was just waiting for him to go, oh, you know, all you monsters have the nice nails. Just thinking of Bugs Bunny.
You know,
for
I just
some
meet
reason,
some so. Interesting people in my job.
All right. Well, we actually have a little more news for this week. As we mentioned at the end of our news segment last week, which was breaking news at the time that we recorded, S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for season 3. Agent Carter, got picked up for season 2. So, again, be expecting more podcasts from Josh and myself. But they gave some information about each of the seasons, you know, like a little paragraph blurb, like they do for an individual episode. But this is going to be about the season. So I just wanted to share that. So they're saying Marvel's Agent Carter returns for a second season of Adventure and Intrigue, starring Haley Atwell in the titular role of the unstoppable secret agent for the SSR, Strategic Scientific Reserve. Dedicated to the fight against the new atomic age in the wake of World War II, Peggy must now journey from New York City to Los Angeles for her most dangerous assignment yet. But even as she discovers new friends, a new home, and perhaps even a new love, she's about to find out that the bright lights of the post-war Hollywood mask a more sinister threat to everyone she has sworn to protect. So
new love?
Yeah. Who was her old love?
Well, I guess, you know, Steve was her old love. Steve Rogers.
Oh, well, yeah.
Of course, right?
I'm hoping what's-her-face goes with her. Her acting friend.
Not Daisy. What am I thinking? Daisy, that's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh
my gosh, I've had S.H.I.E.L.D. on the brain now. I'm kind of spacing
out. Yeah, well, whatever. But I hope she goes with her. They only list Haley Atwell as Agent Carter. They don't list anybody else. Mm-hmm. But let's see. Tara Butters, Michelle Fazekas, Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely, Chris Dingus, Kevin Feige, Louis Desposito, Alan Fine, Joe Quesada, Stanley, and Jeff Loeb are all executive producers. Ooh.
All right.
And yeah, it's produced by ABC Studios and Marvel Television. No indication as to number of episodes or when it's going to air, but I'm assuming it will be at least 8 episodes and be a mid-season show that will air in, late December, early January again.
Yeah. It was right around Christmas and New Year's time. It's a nice little present.
Yes. And then the blurb for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. says, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns for a dynamic, action-packed third season as director Phil Coulson, Clark Gregg, embarks on a deadly new secret mission to protect the world from new threats in the wake of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s wars with Hydra and a rogue faction of Inhumans. So that really tells you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I'm glad that both of these shows have adventure, intrigue, and dynamic, action-packed. Because yes. Otherwise, you know, I'd worry.
They would not be any good. Season three.
If anybody would like to change those adjectives in there just to see how it changes the emotion of the show, you know.
Yeah.
Post that on our Facebook page. I want to see that.
So season three stars Clark Gregg as Phil Coulson, Ming-Na Wen as May, Brett Dalton is back, Chloe Bennett, Ian DeKestecker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Nick Blood, and Adrian Palicki. Those are all the regulars. So Mac is not a regular, but hopefully he'll still be on the show a little bit. And it'll continue to be produced or executive produced by Joss Whedon, Jed Whedon, and Marissa Tancheroen, along with Jeff Loeb and Jeffrey Bell. So
now I see, you know, Grant Ward is coming back again. Now, are we still holding out hope that he might be being a good guy again, back on the team?
No, I hope not.
No?
After this, seriously, after what we've seen now, I hope not.
Yeah, I think I'm done with that.
He, oh my gosh, is yeah. He's. I want to talk about him a little more. Also, unfortunately, the Hunter Mockingbird spinoff series was given a pass.
Oh.
Or was it?
Oh.
So we've got conflicting reports, both from Variety here. And the second one says that, excuse me, with all the upfronts that happened this week, the spinoff that was rumored to focus on Bobby Morse and Lance Hunter, you know, Paul Lee, the ABC Entertainment Group president, says, "We absolutely love those characters on S.H.I.E.L.D. so much that they didn't want to mess with the success by attempting a spinoff." But that doesn't mean that they're... You know, they're not spinning them off. It's this weird, what do I want to say? It's a exclamation, not explanation. I don't know. So
it sounds like they don't know what to do with them either, but they want to do something.
Right. Well, they definitely are going to be keeping on S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, listing them as regulars here in the announcement that came out on Tuesday afternoon. So
what do you think about the idea of maybe like an online thing, you know, like a web exclusive.
I'm not a huge fan of those. Because they don't come out regularly enough and they don't get publicized enough. So like,
yeah.
I haven't been keeping up with the Rogue Agent or Splinter Agent or whatever they called the one
sure.
they had this season.
That's not so much of a series though, as a an extended commercial, but
yeah, I mean,
I know what you mean.
What I would like is if maybe they have them go off and do their own adventure where they're not checking in at the base, and the two of them are off on an adventure where they don't have the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a backup. So it's like we get their own series, but they're still on S.H.I.E.L.D. So, you know, like they're the B storyline or the C storyline on any given week. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
but I do love keeping Hunter around with at least Coulson and Fitz now, because that's great.
Yeah, I still want a road trip episode with those three.
You know what? We should start a writing campaign over the summer for them to do a road trip episode with those guys.
That is a brilliant idea.
So, and I went ahead and bought the SOS Part 1 poster from the Marvel shop, the one that looks like the comic book cover.
Good job,
I know
sir.
That's like not news that everybody cares about, but I just could not resist.
I am very happy that you did that because I know how much you liked it, and they're so good. Those prints are so good, but that one was just exceptional and above all the rest. So I'm glad you got that. Hopefully it doesn't set you back too much, but I'm glad you were able to get one.
Limited to 100 pieces for $50, well, $49.95, because, of course, $50 is free shipping, and so they really keep it at $49.95, so you do have to pay shipping. But I was torn between getting that and the SOS Part 2 one, which we discussed, and you can see pictures on our Facebook page, which was really nice. But anyway, enough about that. I don't have it yet. I'm going to hang it up here in my studio, my recording studio, as soon as I get it. Looking at that. All right, you ready to get into the season finale here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got my Bactine and my Neosporin here just for Agent Coulson, and I'm ready to pitch in however I can.
He just needs to take a little more vitamin C. I think he'll be okay.
That'll grow right back.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be crazy if it did?
Ooh. Yeah.
Crazy. I doubt there's anything that in the Kree blood that he was given that would do that. But before we get to that really excellent piece of Coulson's performance there at the end of the episode, we pick up right where the episode left off last week. And what I really liked about this, so one of my questions, and I can't remember if I really voiced this on the podcast last week, Josh, but the concern for me was there's no one that witnessed what Jia Ying did except for Jia Ying, and she probably was the only one that knew exactly what was going to go down, possibly Gordon, possibly Cal.
You're talking about when she shot Gonzalez, right?
Gonzalez at the end of last week's episode.
Right, okay.
Right. So I was concerned that what was going to happen was they were going to spend all this time thinking that Gonzalez really went rogue and that was going to be a majority of the episode. And I was really glad that Coulson did not jump to the conclusion about Gonzalez. I know that we had Simmons did. She's like, well, of course, Gonzalez got exactly what he always wanted because that's kind of where her heart is as well, right? She's still kind of in that dark place, I think. But I thought it was really cool that, you know, Coulson's like, wait, no, I don't think he would do that. I think we need to, you know, I think we need to check stuff out. And he's checking video and, you know, he played it really cool. And they got out of that mess what I thought could be a plot mess that they had there very eloquently, I thought was nice.
Yeah, I agree with that. And not only did they not put the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and Coulson into that kind of expositional trap. I don't know if that's what
I'm trying to describe it.
But also with Skye, I mean, she found out very quickly that she had chosen poorly.
Yes. Yeah. And they also didn't belabor the whole, oh my gosh, S.H.I.E.L.D. attacked us because of the when the ship got up, you know, he just checked the video feed and it was like, oh, well, obviously these guys knocked our S.H.I.E.L.D. agents out and then they fired on their own building, which I thought was, you know, a really interesting way to go about it. But of course, I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they have all this technology. Even though the Inhumans have these powers, they really still and amazingly are not quite a match for even this ragtag S.H.I.E.L.D. that's kind of cobbled back together here in the last couple episodes. So I thought it was a great way to show that Coulson and, you know, people would listen to Coulson as director, but also, you know, Coulson was listening to Agent Beardface and Agent Weaver.
Right.
As advisors and stuff like that. So I'm glad they didn't kind of keep that whole animosity going. I thought that the cohesion was something that was useful because, of course, they united to fight a common enemy. Which, I mean, they were one group to begin with. S.H.I.E.L.D.
Think Coulson has established himself as director in everybody's eyes now?
By the end of the episode, yeah. You saw him taking care of all sorts of business at the end of the episode.
Right.
Agent Weaver wasn't anywhere around. I think that he's stepped up. I mean, also, I mean, Weaver, I don't think she feels that strongly necessarily about it one way or the other. I mean, Gonzalez really was the one that was anti Coulson's regime, I guess you could say. And, you know, he's gone.
But he had very loyal followers, people that were loyal to him that would kind of go along with his philosophies.
And I thought, you know, with the falling out that Coulson and Mac had last week, we mentioned that, you know, even though Mac was quitting, Coulson still, you know, appreciated the work he did. And we thought that Mac still respected Coulson, just couldn't deal with the whole alien aspect and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And this week, you know, it's kind of proved correct. Mac's the one that actually stands up for Coulson in in the whole part, because I think Weaver says that they need to retaliate, and Coulson says, you know, we need to put a stop to this, and Mac agrees, meaning, no, we just need to take a timeout. We need to assess what's going on and not just react. And it shows that, I mean, as we've kind of always known as the audience, Coulson just, he's cool under fire. He has, you know, he works with his heart and his instincts more than, you know, just following protocol, because he knows when to break from that protocol, because, you know, that's what the situation calls for. Now, of course, that burned him at certain points earlier in the season, which was supposed to, I think, make us doubt him. But I think he was, you know, back up to, you know, a number one fighting strength here at the in this episode, or in these two episodes.
Yeah.
He also, I really love the scene where he's discussing, quote unquote, the sky with Cal once he's hulked out, once he's hided out. And I thought he did such a great job of proving to Cal that he was as much a father figure and loved her just as much as Cal did. And now Coulson's been telling Cal this for most of the season, every time they meet, you know, that Skye's interests are, you know, his interests. But Cal's just not listening. But finally, like, Coulson gets through to him. I was concerned at that moment that something bad was going to go down.
Oh, yeah. Well, they kind of built that dramatic tension around it there. But, see, all of this, this episode really, I think, illustrated, I was going to say proved to me. I don't think it needed to be proved to me, but to the other characters, it illustrated why Fury trusts Coulson and put him in charge, and the influence and power and abilities that Coulson has in dealing with people in situations. Maybe yeah. more so than he has in other times in the series when he seemed more desperate. In this one, he seemed pretty level-headed, especially when he was dealing with Cal.
Well, I feel that I think he wasn't having to worry about, did people have his back? Because he's kind of been reunited with this larger group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents now. Mm-hmm. So it's really not just, you know, the six or eight of them or however many, you know, operatives he's been having for a little while here. You know,
plus
he's
the
got the,
of course.
Right. Plus however many Koenigs there are. But he's kind of got the full might of S.H.I.E.L.D. behind him. Plus, Fitz and Simmons are back up to their fighting strength as well. And, you know, he just, his convictions were strong, and he was being honest with Cal. And that, I think that makes all the difference. Like, maybe previously he just didn't really, you know, necessarily believe what he was saying as much. But he honestly cares for Skye. And, you know, he was just, like I said, he was just being totally honest with Cal. And
I think it was slightly more than that as far as Coulson goes, right? Because, I mean, anybody can kind of share with this hulking madman, you know, maybe hulking's not a very appropriate word in this instance, but it was more than that, because he stayed cool and kept him pinned down, I guess. You know, I mean, he drove the car right into him, held him down, and then went and talked to him and was honest with him again. So it was like it was a very Coulson moment where he calmly took care of the situation and then talked his way through the rest of it. And you see him do that in the movies too.
Right. And it just shows why, kind of like you said, why Fury put him in charge. But also why he's the best person to be leading the group, because, I mean, you know, if you've got a crazy monster kind of guy, you know, really strong guy chasing you around, I mean, you know, he makes it out of the lab area and then has enough forethought to be able to kind of put a plan together on the fly with Fitz and Simmons and, you know, and then execute that plan and, you know, and make it work properly. So I thought that was just, you know, showing what kind of guy he is. And, I'm glad he's back in charge. I mean, I am one that had questions about his character at some points during the season, and I think it was an interesting journey for him to see where he's gone in season two. They definitely tested him more.
Oh, for sure. Yes. And he passed even after the final, this week's final.
Right.
He passed
right.
it. It was hard.
He gets a few points off.
Yes.
So my friend Greg texted me during the episode, and I want to see if you can fill in this blank. He says Coulson is to Herschel as Mac is to blank.
Okay, now I was thinking about this, and I was trying to remember, and I'm going to say Rick.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
So
is that who did? I couldn't remember if that's who took care of our buddy Herschel on Walking
yeah.
Dead.
By the way, spoilers for season two of The Walking Dead, like 3 years ago. But when he texted that, he was ahead of me. I was watching this episode later than I normally do, and I was like, oh, wait a second. Doesn't Herschel get his head taken off by somebody?
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, no. And then I saw Mac pick up an axe, and I'm like, oh, no. So, but it just goes to show Coulson is a victim of Marvel's Phase 2. And if you have not heard about this online, so Phase 2 is every film that has happened since Avengers. So it's Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America 2, and Avengers Age of Ultron. And it will be Ant-Man as well. But because Phase 2, quote-unquote, is supposed to be a little bit darker, Kevin Feige, who's the executive producer and kind of oversees the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, has put a tribute to The Empire Strikes Back in every film. And so in every film, a character loses an arm of some kind at some point. I will put up a picture in our Facebook page, but we had the extremist guy, which I can't remember his name, loses his arm at the end of Iron Man 3. Thor loses his hand in Thor the Dark World. The Winter Soldier is missing an arm in his movie. Gamora cuts off Groot's arms in Guardians of the Galaxy. And Andy Serkis's character, Claw, loses an arm in Avengers Age of Ultron. And I guarantee you somebody will lose an arm in Ant-Man. So just keep watching when that comes out in a couple months. And again, Coulson loses his hand.
I'm making some predictions about a future storyline in some Marvel movies. The ultimate villain in these Marvel movies is just going to be some guy that's selling artificial limbs. And the way he's, you know, building his empire is, you know, he just makes sure that people need his artificial limbs. See, that's – I think I've
– That is that. A devious and dark kind of villain there. Yeah. Wow.
He's a profiteer, you know. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I didn't think about that. Do you think that that's really why in this case is because of that thread? I know that thread in the movies is true, but that's awesome. I didn't think about that.
You know, it seemed kind of obvious to me, but I think it serves as another element here. And season two is a slightly more mature season, and you know, they want you to know that they're really serious. They've made some very serious changes this season. If we think back to what's been going on. So, you know, you've got Agent 33 that showed up. You've got, you know, this brainwashing stuff that was happening, which we couldn't be sure that anybody was real, you know, that was authentic, I guess. We had questions about Bobby off and on. We had questions about Gemma off and on throughout the entire season. They went ahead and killed Trip. And, you know, you had these characters develop powers and have these irreversible things happen to them. And so what better reminder here at the end of the season about really just how serious the events are. And Coulson, you know, it's a permanent reminder to him of his actions. You know, for good or for bad, as he says, and it's, you know, it's kind of that ripple in the water that he talks about. It's like, this is the first, you know, indication that they are stepping into that larger world now. with the Inhumans and everything like that. Hmm. So
yeah, the series is definitely different. I mean, if you compare this episode to the very first episode way back in season one, the feel is different. The idea is different. The, you know, just the whole atmosphere with the powers and the alien artifacts mm-hmm. And issues going on. Anyway, all of that is so different than their views in the first episode.
Well, there in the from the first episode, there was, I don't know if I want to say naivete, but everybody was like, oh, you know, we work for this big organization and everybody felt safe. And we felt safe and it was, okay, they're going and they're investigating these cool things and, oh, that's interesting. And there's someone with some powers that are like, you know, created by humans. But now it's like, wow, there are these powers that people have latently and who knows who's going to start exhibiting powers or not. I thought, because of the Kree blood in Coulson, for a moment there, he grabbed the crystal and nothing happened. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. He's got the blood in him. So maybe that means he can hold it. And of course, then he started to turn and I'm like, oh crap. And they didn't even give me really a second to consider it even further because then all of a sudden whoosh, the axe fell. My gosh.
Hey,
Mac, he's the boss.
He is the boss, man. Mac, I have a question about Mac. Yeah. He's wielding this axe in this episode, like John Henry, you know, from the old legend.
Dude,
you know?
I didn't even. That's true. Yeah,
I could not find anything. I admittedly I didn't look that hard, but maybe you know. Is he supposed to represent some comic character that carries an axe around? I couldn't.
No, I don't think so. No, I mean I think Mac. I'm pretty sure Mac had maybe a brief appearance at some point in a Shield. Comic book or something like that, but
I get the feeling now that he's going to be the guy that carries the axe. That's going to be his weapon of choice. You know, it just maybe not. Maybe it was just in this episode, but I thought that would be cool.
My name's Gordon. What's yours? I'm the guy that's going to kill Gordon. Oh, I mean, just like that was delicious because he didn't even move. He just had that swagger while he was sitting there.
Yeah, he kind of leaning off to the side. You know,
so badass.
Riker style there from Star Trek. Yeah, I know. It was cool. That was awesome.
And then, of course, it's like he's not the one that actually finishes the job. He also pulled out a couple other nicknames Mac did. I don't know if you caught. He calls Sky. He calls her Tremors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did hear that.
When he breaks her out of jail. And then he pulled out the Turbo. Attaboy. Turbo. Again, which I just... When Mac's got your back, I feel totally at ease. I mean, I feel like there's not a situation he can't handle, I guess, in some fashion. Having Coulson put him in charge of like the alien artifact program.
Yeah.
That's completely awesome. I think that's totally appropriate for him, except he's already screwed up his first assignment, but we'll talk more about that in season two. So.
All right. Well, yeah. You know, this. I want to go down your list here, but then I will make an observation about this episode. But overall, but this is good.
Overall, okay. You don't want to just do that now, so you don't forget.
Well, okay. I thought that it was as I'm writing my notes because there were so many like fights. A lot of it played like a Street Fighter game or a Mortal Kombat. You know, you had the first fight, Sky versus Mei. Fight, Sky yeah. wins, you know, and then, you know, later on you had some more, what did I write? Gordon versus Mac, Mac wins, Jiang yeah. versus Cal. I mean, it was kind of funny. It was like, and then there was a couple round twos in there where the other person won round two. They had a lot of one-on-one fights.
It was good. Oh, and then there was one-on-one with Ginger.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what did he call her? I've got it here. Ginger Ninja. He was coming up with all the cool nicknames this week. So.
Oh, well, they might be taking a hint from Flash, maybe from Cisco on Flash. But
oh, yeah. It's always nice when there's a character that, you know, kind of adds that levity, you know, by just kind of making fun of a character like that to see if you can catch him off guard or whatever, too, you know, by giving him silly names or something
right, but
like that.
It also kind of gives it a real world connection to the comics, so you can have those I'll say silly, but I don't mean it in a bad way, right? Silly comic book names of heroes and villains, but in a real world situation that doesn't seem so hokey.
Right. I mean, he called Sky Tremors, but in the comic books, Daisy Johnson goes by Quake, which, you know, they're getting close, but hey, if he wants to call her Tremors, that's pretty cool. So, well, so let's talk about Sky next. I've got her down. I think she is probably, of course, the second most important character that we've got here. Ostensibly, she may be the most important character. I thought this was a great conclusion of a two-season arc for this character. We went, like you were talking earlier, just about what we saw in the initial S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, the very first episode of the first season. Just think about Sky at that point, how she was very sure of herself, but she was kind of living on the street, hacking, things for her own purpose, and you know, searching for her parents. And here at the end of season two, she's now a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She is a fighter. She's an Inhuman. She's found both of her parents and lost both of them, sort of. Lost one of them, definitely. But you can kind of argue why the other one is still around,
sure.
Which I thought was great. And she's becoming a great leader. And as Andrew points out, you know, she's ready for anything now, which, I mean, I know we've questioned her abilities and, you know, really, is this the best character to have on here on the series and stuff like that? Probably more so in season one. I think this season they've really been working her towards that. So I thought I am really pleased with what they've done with Sky up to this point. I wanted to get your take on the character.
Well, she's a lot more interesting to me now than she was just as a computer hacker, member of the team in Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not as I don't want to use the word realistic again, you know, I mean, it's not as believable anymore because she's got powers and all, you know, in less than a year, she became this super fighter, you know, this power ninja. I got to tell you, I paid for like 9 years of karate for my son and he can't fight like that yet. He's pretty good, but he can't fight like that. So I like where she's gone. I think it's a more interesting character. It makes that connection to the comic books and kind of the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic books. And So, I think she's pretty cool. I like it. And I like in this episode how when she was, reunited, I guess, with Mac when he breaks her out. And she's got those bracelet things on that so she can't use her powers. And he goes, I need you. I need your help. I need your skills or whatever he said. And she's like, I can't. And he goes, no. I need you to break in the computer. So like, I like that she still has those kind of things that she can use that is more human, I guess, than anything.
Right. Well, and what a great callback again to the first episode too, with her and a laptop hacking into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And all of the predictions that Raina made about her becoming a leader, you know, sound like they're going to be coming true because she's been given this new position. Coulson's got, you know, a new group that he wants her to helm. And she says, you know, that they need a new team that needs to be anonymous. She says, or maybe he says that, or in my words, perhaps even a secret team, very much like the Secret Warriors that we have been talking about off and on through at least this season. I think we discussed it maybe a little bit during our summer hiatus last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And there's a new, I posted on our Facebook page, there's a new Secret Warriors collection coming out in about a month and a half. You can find it on Amazon. I think it's called Secret Warriors Volume 1. Or the complete Secret Warriors Volume 1. And if you guys haven't had a chance to read that, I really suggest picking it up. It will give you a good idea of ideas about where they may be going with Sky and S.H.I.E.L.D. Plus, I mean, it doesn't follow anything exactly because Nick Fury is still around. He's leading the team and stuff like that. But you can see a lot of the building blocks for things that they came up with in this season and in probably what they're going to be doing in the future here. One other thing that I'm reminded about her, it was, and it might've been in the episode that we were discussing earlier, but it was, they were talking to Sky about indexing. Simmons was talking to her about indexing at one point, and Sky made a comment about how it sounded, you know, she didn't like the way it was. It was the one where they were interviewing the woman that they thought had powers, but it actually was the weird guy that was, trapped in between dimensions or something like that. That was another episode. Might have been The Well. Coulson says to Sky, maybe someday you will be a person that, you know, comes up with a new way to index people. And I see Sky now having these powers and knowing kind of other people with powers that are out there. And knowing how, you know, kind of from both sides of the coin, we saw last week when Lincoln got indexed and he was like, he kind of felt violated. And she's like, you know, it's not really that big a deal or whatever, but she can kind of see it from both sides now. And she's going to have to go out in the world and collect her team of superpowered people. So she maybe will be coming up with a new way to index and, you know, record information about these people and, you know, change the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. works, which I think is an interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea, and it gives them an opportunity to take it in another direction, you know, another completely different direction for the next season, one that, you know, you don't anticipate. You don't expect what's going to happen, which I think they did a pretty good job with this season, for the most part, you know, with the idea of that they had to start S.H.I.E.L.D. over from scratch and where it ended up leading them, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely some other growth opportunities. So Fitz and Simmons, like I said earlier, kind of seem to be back to their usual selves, at least as they're working together, which I thought was great. I was glad to see more scenes with them. Gemma really picks not the most opportune moment to try to reconnect with Fitz about what he had said to her when they were, what did she say, under the ocean or something like that?
Yes.
He was talking about the Under the Sea dance, right? That he took her to. Was that it?
Yeah. That one where they played Earth Angel and I remember that one.
well, what had he said in case people had missed that episode?
What had Fitz said to Simmons?
Yeah.
Well, he was admitting her his feelings about her and telling her how he, you know, how he, I guess, loved her. I don't know that he used those exact words, but, you know, but it wasn't, I guess, either Simmons was scared about that or didn't feel the same way. I guess we never really were clear exactly on how she feels, but. It seems after watching this that maybe she does feel the same way, and now she's finally brave enough to admit it or has changed or something.
Yeah, well, I think it's something she's kind of thought about over time. Obviously, I think she cared about him. Otherwise, she wouldn't have – she felt like she couldn't be around him at the beginning of the season after his injuries.
Right.
So, you know, she's progressed through an amazing arc. And of course, like I said earlier, she's kind of in a dark place still, given the fact that she killed Bakshi.
Now she is.
Yeah. Yes. She's very in a dark. Doubly dark place. Yeah, very much like that creep. Was it Creep Show? Or Tales from the Dark Side movie or something like that. There's a episode where these kids are out on a raft and there's a big like tar monster in the lake that kind of just keeps taking kids off this raft one at a time.
Eesh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
scary.
It was a movie. It might have been like Creepshow 2 or something like that. It was pretty freaky. But you're right. Yeah, she got you know. So she kind of tries to make a pass at him when he's trying to leave, and it upsets her very much because she may not ever really get to see him again, right? Because of the dangers that they're facing. Then they get together, and he awkwardly tries to make plans for dinner. He was so great at that. Just like, She's like, yes, yes, it's almost dinner time, Fitz. We can go eat soon. And he's like, no, like, you know, just you and me and click. Whoops. Oh, I'm so clumsy. And he's like, fine. Okay, well, I'll see you later, Gemma. And I'm sure when they play back the videotape to see what happens, he's going to be kicking himself because he'll realize he was the one that accidentally unlatched the container that has yet to have been unlatched accidentally. That's horrible, horrible luck.
Oh, jeez. Now she's never going to go out with him.
So my question for you is, since apparently, and I can't, I was watching again with this in mind, my second viewing, it appears that the obelisk only turns into the goop when there's an inhuman around.
You had mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it was last week when we saw it. I think last week was the first time we saw it.
Okay.
But when they walked into the room last week, that's when it kind of broke down at the first time. No, it did it. No, I guess it only did it that time. But this week, it did it again. There were some guards in the room. None of the shield guards, like, flinched. Like, nobody seemed to care, which was weird. But then Gordon appeared in the room. So it was like Gordon wasn't there, but he was teleporting in when the stuff went liquid. Okay. So I could argue, should anybody want to, that, you know, it could sense that he was coming and turned into the goop. So, but anyway, it only appears to be turned into the liquid state when there are inhumans around. And it does that to Simmons. Do you think Simmons has some kind of untapped potential in her or whatever they get, latent ability or whatever it was they called it?
It didn't really cross my mind because I haven't seen any kind of evidence of that. I'm kind of still of the camp that it just randomly turns into the liquid. And I know what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
And that is possible, but I think they've kind
of, you could
done
be right
that.
Too. Yeah.
I think that to me, it feels like they've just kind of done that more to illustrate how weird and mysterious this stuff is. They just, you know, they happen to show it right before an inhuman came in. But again, I could be totally off. And who knows, you know, maybe Simmons does have something.
Either way, if she does have some ability, they, you know, the Inhumans, at least Gordon and Jiaying, have said that it's dangerous to Inhumans, or deadly. I mean, basically they intimate that it's a weapon to be used that the Kree created to, you know, destroy or, you know, do something with the Inhumans. So how does she get out of this? Have you even thought about what possibilities might exist for her to come out?
Yeah, I don't think they could get her out. What I'm kind of thinking is that it's probably going to release her, you know, but when she comes out, she will be changed somehow. As a matter of fact, they may not even know she's gone. It may change her and release her right away, and they show her that either she has powers or she's not herself, or, you know, something like that. So
very interesting.
Because otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what they could do.
You were a fan of X-Files, right?
I did see, yeah, most of the X-Files.
So my thought, just because it's black and it turns into this fluid, is that it's kind of like the infection, the alien infection that people get, the kind of that tar stuff, you know, their eyes go black. Yeah, I feel that she, like you said, they may not know she's gone. It may release her relatively immediately, but she might be changed. I think that is correct, because of course you can't have two characters be happy like Fitz and Simmons. So
oh no, that would be boring. Then they would have to see, they would have to change those adjectives to from dynamic, action-packed to loving, romantic third season. Doesn't work as well.
Well, speaking of loving and romantic, what about Bobby and Lance? They are, she seems to want to quit now, and he's very happy to have his ball back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and nothing says romance like taking a bullet in the shoulder for your love, so I agree.
And having a broken femur or knee or whatever it was as well.
Is it just me? And it could have very well just been me, but did you wince every time she used her right fist to punch Ward? Because, ow! I mean, favor your left one, Bob. Bob.
Yeah, I was torn. I almost was like, I don't know that I really need to watch part of this episode again, because when they cut in for the close-up of the fingernails, I turned away. Yeah. I mean, that was rough. And, yeah. I mean, I don't like needles, and I don't like eyeballs.
Say that on air. Now, look, Hydra is going to catch you, and there you go, right there. See, I'm going to say I don't like...
That was Josh that was talking.
I don't like coffee, and I don't like money. So, yeah, those are the two things that they'll get me with every time, Hydra. Just in case you're
okay,
listening.
Well, I want to change my answer then.
Okay.
But I can't. I don't know that it's family appropriate, so I'm not going to say it here now. So I'll text it to you, and it'll be the same. So.
I stuck with the coffee just in case.
Okay. But, yeah, just seeing those things go into the fingernails, that was nasty. And I also felt that it should have been a headshot that she got because – of just kind of, if you just look where the gun was positioned and where her body was in the chair, I'm not sure how it went through her shoulder. I'm not arguing. I'm, you know, it's great because for all the questions I had about Bobby, she proved herself beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I really wanted just to have her break Ward in two. But she gave as good as she got, pretty much.
I just imagine if she hadn't just been tortured, man, she could have taken him out right there.
Yeah. What does Ward say at the beginning of the torture sequence? It's like, you know, a normal agent would just be able to push away the pain. But I've got this other great idea that, you know, I don't know how he thinks that once the pain starts that the agent won't be able to just push away the pain.
And I don't know. Bobby, obviously, makes sense to me.
She's extraordinary. So
it's kind of like, because I think, at least this is how it played in my head, you know, when you anticipate what's about to happen, you can see it, you can kind of prepare yourself for in however way you were trained, but think about, you know, when pain medication starts to wear off, it doesn't wear off right away, you know, it's kind of slow, maybe uncomfortable at first, and it's I think it would be a lot harder to get rid of that.
Why don't we check this out? I'm gonna do a little experiment during the summer here.
I'll let you do that experiment. In the meantime,
I'll swing by.
No. You take care of that. I'm going to train myself to deal with those horrible, horrible things that I don't want Hydra to torture me with. That's what I'm going to try.
Okay. So our question last week, or my question last week, was what does Kara blame Bobby for? So I think we found that out now.
Well, she Kara blames Bobby for turning her over to Bakshi.
Okay.
Or Whitehall. It was Whitehall, wasn't it? I mean, I guess Bakshi was there.
Well, Bakshi via Whitehall, or right, Whitehall okay. via Bakshi.
To Hydra to be tortured, that's what. And
sure.
And it turns out she did.
Right. So what does that change your opinion about Bobby? So basically, according to Bobby, she could have gotten 12 agents killed or tell them about this safe house, which she wasn't sure that anybody was there. And unfortunately, that's where Kara was hanging out. So, you know, Bobby's whole thing, basically, she's, you know, is restrained again and spits in Ward's face, you know, was like, I would do it all over again. So my question to you is, Bobby justified in her actions and her decisions?
Concerning Kara, right? Or Ward?
Yeah. Concerning the decisions that she made during this S.H.I.E.L.D. operation, right, where she was a mole in Hydra.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I gotta say, yeah. I think she was justified. She did exactly what she was supposed to do in a situation like that that would save more people and not blow her cover. You know, what I'm not sure I agree with her on is just, you know, you did it. Say you're sorry. I mean, she should be sorry. I mean, she didn't necessarily did anything wrong, but I mean,
she did apologize, but she, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm, I get kind of obstinate sometimes myself. And, you know, someone's forcing me to tell them something. It's like, I might just not tell them that just to be a jerk, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, it's like you push Bobby and she's pushing back, right?
Oh, sure.
And she said she was sorry for what happened to her, but that wouldn't change what her decision was, which I think is right. I mean, it's kind of that, you know, that whole line from, and they brought it up a little bit here, from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, or the, you know, the few or the one.
And that's what she was doing. Or the one.
Yeah.
That's how
you'll flood the whole compartment. So, you know, I too agree that she was justified. And I think Bobby was truthful in that she was sorry for what happened to Kara, whatever. But, you know, she would make the same decision again because, you know, in terms of like a military decision or a tactical decision, it was appropriate. I mean, it is one of those, you know, you can Monday morning quarterback this all you want, but at the time somebody had to make the call and she, I would say was more logical call, I guess.
Oh no. I think, don't get me wrong. I definitely think Bobby did everything that she was supposed to. And even in this situation, anything she said, I don't think necessarily would have changed anything that happened to her. But you get that often, and I think that's very common in our culture. People want to blame someone for tragedy, bad things that happen. And sometimes there really isn't anyone to blame. It's more just the situation, the given situation. And even when there is someone to blame, they're not always satisfied just blaming that one person. They've got to blame others because they led that person to that, or you know what I mean? I mean, sadly, it happens too much, but
that's the axiom, you know, stuff happens. So, and the word is not stuff, but you know what I mean? And you're right. I mean, Kara continues to just be oblivious to all this, even as they're leaving. It's like, and I hope you'll think about how much pain you've caused somebody else, you know, when they get shot in the head by the gun that we set up. It's like, what? It's like, are you totally, you're just totally blind? Like, she really has been brainwashed the other way, twisted by Ward or something? So,
yeah, I don't even think it's a brainwash. I mean, she's damaged. I mean, she's suffering like ultimate PTSD, you know. I mean, she's just messed up, and it's not her fault. And I don't really blame her. I actually felt very, very sorry for her. Not so much for Ward, although I suppose.
No.
Although he kind of experienced the same thing when he was a kid, and that's why he turned out the way he did, apparently.
Ward got messed up a lot earlier on and has been messed up a lot longer but has gone through more cycles of this.
And again, this might be just my opinion, and then I'll drop it, but at some point, you have to take responsibility for your actions. Despite what caused your behavior, you have to take responsibility for what you do, even if you're messed up.
You upset me, and then I say, don't make me hit you. Okay, I'm not making you hit me. Like, I can be saying stuff. If that provokes you to hit me, that's fine, but you're responsible for your actions. And so
that's
what
why
I tell my kids all the time.
Yes. Well, and that's why we typically don't do the show in the same room, you and I. So you don't hit me because
you're a little scrappy.
I'm scrappy. So. Yeah, that's me.
Put him up.
Yes, in a completely Scooby-Doo sort of way, I'm scrappy.
Yeah, that is the only way that you were probably scrappy. since we were talking about Ward there as well, is he the only one in this season not to get any kind of closure? He's been seeking closure, and I felt like pretty much every other character that we follow got some kind of closure, except for Ward. He's just got this festering wound that just he can't, like, no matter how much hate or, you know, torture he pours into it, it just doesn't make it go away. It's just he is so messed up.
I don't know.
He's a train wreck.
And you can tell me how you feel about this. I don't know that he's actually seeking closure, though. Do you know how sometimes when something bad happens and you kind of just want to feel sad because you sort of feel like you should feel sad. And so you,
I mean, no,
you don't, you don't try to get over it for at least a period of time because it's, it seems like it's not appropriate to be over it yet.
It's a self-destructive behavior can stem from that as well.
Yeah. So I kind of think that's what he's doing. I don't think he's really seeking closure. I think he's kind of wallowing in his torture right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, and you know, the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just keep giving him more ammunition, so to speak. I mean, his, the fact that he murdered Agent 33, that is going to, I mean, that's going to give him at least an extra season to go on here. I mean, he's going to be savoring that for months at this point.
I did feel at the end of this that he did have some real feelings for Kara there. I hadn't really felt that before. I thought he'd kind of been playing her the whole time, but I think maybe he really did. Or either that or he just felt like they caused him to do something wrong, although he doesn't seem to have much problem with that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I just, I feel like they were both two just damaged people, and, you know, I think they might have been mistaking the each other, identifying the damage that they see in one another in themselves as some kind of love. You know, it's like just they don't know how. I don't think either of them really at that point knew how to have a proper kind of relationship. I mean, I don't think Ward ever did because he was always using people. And Kara may have just, you know, had it erased from her or something like that. So I just, they're just broken.
Definitely.
So there was a post that you put up on our Facebook page from Hypeable called Five Sneaky Hints About the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 Finale. And I like reading through these things. It's those kind of things where it's like, oh, here's five things that are going to get said in the episode. And you're like, ooh, I wonder who says that. That sounds really interesting. But they had this one piece where I read this and I'm like, oh, I've got to make sure to revisit that after I watched the episode. And then I did. And I'm like, I still wasn't quite sure what they were talking about. So I want to get confirmation from you as to what you think. I'm going to read what it said here. So one of their items, one of their five items was, among its major shocks and revelations, season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. offered up one bizarrely minute mystery, the type of thing that made you sit back after a few hours and go, am I seriously arguing about this? Nevertheless, the small plot point became the crux of serious debate among various factions of fandom, and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two finale offers up the answer. What do you think was the issue?
Boy, I'm not entirely sure what they were thinking. I mean, what they're talking about specifically.
Okay.
I thought, you know, the thing with that we had kind of talked about with Simmons, maybe that. And then the whole, you know, thing with Coulson and the Terrigen crystals.
Okay.
But I don't know. Do you have an idea? And then maybe I can go, oh yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Hey, Josh, do you think Ward really shot his dog?
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's it. Because remember, I was like, they didn't show it. I think, you know, I don't know. We had a debate about that. And Kara said that, you know, Ward got his start too. You know, he had to shoot his own dog. And I think that's what they were talking about. I'm pretty sure that that is a confirmation. Now, of course, it's from this twisted, broken, you know, lying, cheating lady person. But I think that's what it was.
Okay. If you say so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe
it's the only thing I can think that was so small that that got talked about that actually, you know, I remember us discussing in the episode when, because it goes black after the gunshot goes off. And you're like, he didn't really just do that. He just scared the dog away, right?
I guess.
And they just brought it up in here. So
that seems, yeah, I mean, so. That does seem like a minute mystery, but I don't know. Why bring that up? You think that's, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I hadn't put it together enough to really come to any conclusion. I like that idea though, and they did mention that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was something that was brought up. If any of the listeners out there have a different idea as to what it might be, please write in, let us know. Shield@randomchatter.com or post on our Facebook page or go ahead and tweet us. So among other characters that got their closure here, we got Agent May, who really begins her healing, I think. She had a good episode, I thought, and she's now going to take a vacation with Andrew, which means Blair Underwood might be back again next season. That's totally cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, and she deserves a vacation. Go for it. Yeah, he was good. I'm sure he'll come back periodically.
And I love that she decides to take her gun with her. Like, you know, she's packing her. She's got this little bikini. And she's like, okay, oh, I need my gun as well. Which I just imagine her tucking in the back of her bikini.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's she going to keep that in that? Yeah, interesting.
Now, did you notice her locker number?
Yes.
What?
Yes. I'm like, is he going to say this? Is he going to mention this or not? Come on. Yes, I did.
Totally flipped me out. So for those of you that didn't notice, I'll put a screenshot up of this. May's locker was next to Bobby's. Bobby's locker number is 32, and you can actually see May's locker number, and it is 33. How weird is that? So that's got me – I got conspiracy theories running through my head now. So I'm like, wait, did Ward really kill 33? And I'm like, well, yeah, he did. Wait, because her face changed. But does that – you know, does that mean something? Or is it just this weird coincidence? They had to have put it in there for a reason.
No coincidence. Now, I do – after, you know, you posted a bunch – or you were telling me about a bunch of things that kind of made me think. But in that scene – it seemed like she had seen the 33 and made her stop and give pause or whatever, and that's why she grabbed her gun. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, because I didn't really notice the 33 until after she grabbed her gun.
Right, you don't see it until she closes the locker at the end of the scene.
Right, but it almost made me think that may be why. It kind of made her think of Kara and that's why she grabbed it, I guess. Or maybe she knew Ward was still out there. I don't know.
That's interesting. I didn't put that together. So that's an interesting take on it.
I like your ideas way better.
Well, you know, it seems like it's one of those things that the producers or the writers just kind of put in as a, you know, a connection piece. But I don't know. It seems like there could be something more to that. But it's probably just, you know, one of those serendipity kind of things, like... you know, somebody mentions tacos and then, you know, like you see a taco immediately after that for whatever reason, you know.
Tacos? Just, why tacos?
I don't know. I'm just.
That just popped in your head. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's just somebody talks about something and then all of a sudden, you know, you realize, oh, wow. And I know, you know, somebody mentions something or you hear about something and then immediately you see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know what you meant. Oh, I just wondered why you said tacos.
I'm hungry, I guess. I don't know. So I need some food. I would be completely remiss if I didn't talk about Kyle MacLachlan's performance in this particular finale. He kills it, both literally and figuratively, but he did such an amazing job. There were two points I was moved to almost tears. I mean, just very emotional moments. With Kyle, one was
that when he got racked with an SUV. Was that one of them?
Yeah, that was one of when he was talking to Coulson. There, it was the end of the scene where he's like, no, stop, and you know Coulson's telling him that he's got a big heart and he wears it on his sleeve, and that's where Sky gets it from. Oh my God, it's just, you know, it just kind of pulls on your heartstrings. And then the other one was it's kind of two scenes actually, because the scene where he had to basically put down his wife.
Yeah.
That was kind of heartbreaking, but also the goodbye scene with Sky. It's just, you know, and of course you're assuming that goodbye because he's going to go to mutant prison super-powered prison, whatever they call these people. Enhanced prison.
Enhanced. Yeah, there you go. I like, you know, their solution. Interesting solution.
Yeah, and I, I guess I could never, I've never really been able to separate Tahiti, the mind erasing protocol, from the GH325 serum, you know? So obviously there's two separate things going on.
Well, we've never, never had any reason to separate them that both times, even when Sky, you know, they used it on Sky, and when they, cause I kind of thought that the Tahiti thing was the, bringing them back to life.
Yeah.
But I guess it was more than that.
It was just the erasing memories portion of it, I guess.
Did they have to take his head off, his, you know, the top of his scalp there to do that, you think?
Oh, gosh. I don't. Yeah, probably.
I'm glad they didn't show that again.
Yeah. Now, if you notice, when he was outside the vet clinic, he's talking about how he's just getting started up, but it will be a magical place when they are done. Nice little nod to the whole Tahiti as a magical place that Coulson kept talking about at the end of last season. Or last season, I guess.
Yeah, that was good.
We've got... I also have to say that I was probably the biggest disappointment for me in this entire finale was the Mr. Hyde transformation. I was hoping for a little bit more, a bigger guy, maybe CG and stuff, but obviously with all the dialogue and stuff they had to do, prosthetics on Kyle MacLachlan worked the best. And he still, I thought he did a great job of emoting with all that. I didn't, you know, I saw him as a changed person through it all, but it was not exactly what I was looking for or thinking of, I guess.
No, me neither. But, so, you know, it worked. They could have gone a little bit further over with it, but it worked.
And then, so we've got all these Inhumans then. Reyna, I kind of figured that they probably were going to get rid of Reyna. I figured they were just going to write her out and be able to have her come back on. Because I don't know, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the show. She's been cast as a regular in a new TV series called Preacher, which is based on a comic book. That'll be on AMC. So, that's why they got rid of her. But I thought it was a great way to get rid of her. She really embraced her destiny as, you know, as Sky had. But did she really set people off on the right path? Do you think she was being truthful about everything that she said? Because we've had trust issues with her as well.
Yeah. Well, I think she was being truthful. Maybe her motives for saying what she said, weren't the most noble, you know, so yeah, she hasn't been the most trustworthy person, but she's been a bad guy. So she can still tell the truth and do it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? And that still makes her a bad guy.
Okay. That's a good enough reason. The other bad guy in humans, at least that we know about here, are Gordon and Jia Ying, and they are both dead now. We find out that Jia Ying really was a monster. I mean, she's even worse than we thought. I didn't even think that she had some kind of energy vampire powers that they showed us in this episode. There's been a lot of characters being referred to as monsters. Obviously, Cal has been discussing himself as a monster, as well as having been described as a monster, which there's been a lot of in season two, and also in Age of Ultron. I think pretty much every character describes themselves as a monster at some point in that movie as well. So interesting touchstone for this, that this person that appears to be, you know, nice and, you know, motherly in both actuality as well as, you know, the mother of all of this group of Inhumans and stuff like that. And has been a leader with them for so long. She too was totally damaged. She was messed up by, she blames Hydra. I mean, excuse me, she blames S.H.I.E.L.D. Even though it was really Hydra, but, she was probably just as damaged as Kara or Ward as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And let's see, Alicia, who's the ginger ninja, and Lincoln are supposedly in S.H.I.E.L.D. custody, I'm guessing. Lincoln, though, kind of turned to the good side there at the end, which I thought was a nice take. He didn't really believe in what was going on, though. Jia Ying tries to assuage him that she has always had his best interest at heart. Just remember, you know, how difficult it was before she found him. So it's like, I'm sure there's some interesting backstory on Lincoln that we're going to find out at some point.
Yeah, he'll be a good addition to the team, I think.
You think he'll stay around to be with the team? Maybe part of Sky's group?
Maybe. I mean, on and off. I don't think that he'll necessarily be anything permanent or regular, I guess I should say. But I think, yeah, I think he'll pop up every now and then.
Shocking. And then with the S.H.I.E.L.D. 2.0 group that we've got here, the Inhumans' takeover of the ship, which is the Iliad, is very reminiscent of the Hydra's takeover shown in flashbacks from One Door Closes. Just the way that they had all of the crew from the bridge in one area, you know, with guards up on the top rail or top deck and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I'm sure that was, of course, was done on purpose. And Agent Weaver being the only one left on the council after Agent Beardface got gassed by the crystals there.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of. It was kind of creepy. I like that they did it to him because of his beard. That it just worked out nice.
I hope we see more of Agent Weaver. I've kind of grown to like her. She's, an interesting character. She's, you know, she's got an interesting accent and stuff like that. And I think she provides just a different
type of agent.
Yeah, it's just a different take on the characterizations and stuff like this. And as someone that can counsel Coulson in the future here, I mean, she comes from a different background and has ideas, I think, that can help the team out. So I'd like to see her stay around in sort of that counsel position that she's been in here. So,
sure.
So I guess the biggest question here as we finish the season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and finish our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files episodes for season 2 is what's next. They seem to tease a couple things for us. We discussed a little bit of what's going to happen with Simmons, but what do you make of this whole fish oil sequence?
I don't know. And we have talked about before how I'm not as steeped in the Marvel universe as you are, and I've learned so much through watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they've followed so many different comic book storylines, especially like we've talked about with Secret Warriors and things like that, that it seems like they're kind of pulling from those stories. So I think it'll be something that has to do with something in a comic.
Well, since you don't know too much about what's going on in the comic, I don't know of a specific storyline that this would, you know, follow with. But, I mean, just what do you make of that whole sequence at the end there with the crystals underwater and then, you know, they quickly show the processing of these fish into fish oil?
I don't want to make too much of a comparison to this because I don't think it'll be quite like this. But I'm thinking of kind of like a Heroes kind of thing. Do you remember the TV show Heroes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Where
I'm looking at my graphic novel on the shelf right now.
Oh, there you go. Where it'll start to cause what did we call them? Enhanced people to kind of pop up all over the place, and it gives it more options that are like the comic book where we can see more of that. And you can understand where they came from, you know, instead of just mm-hmm. having we can't say mutant, right? One enhanced person at a time show up and they have to sort of figure out how to explain it, you know, like Deathlok, for example.
Yeah. Or Donnie Gill.
Yeah.
Or Graviton, which we still haven't seen yet.
Right.
Maybe third season. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, maybe. So by introducing the humans this season and then giving an explanation of how they became like that or where it came from, and then releasing that onto the world, spreading it around. So now we've got lots of options and lots of things for S.H.I.E.L.D. to do.
Well, since the Marvel Universe here can't use mutants, since those are related to the 20th Century Fox X-Men franchise, they are using in humans in that way. But yeah, I think it's going to be similar to that in the comic books. Mutants around, you know, teenage years, their X gene gets expressed, and that's when their mutation starts up. I was hearing some people say that they were worried that now people are going to take this fish oil and die. Humans would take it and die because it's got the crystal stuff in it. I think it's probably diluted enough that it might make people sick or something like that. But I feel like if you know, an inhuman takes the fish oil pills, someone who is enhanced and has the inhuman gene in them or whatever it is, the more they take, you know, after some point, like you say, they'll start popping up. And of course, isn't convenient that Sky now is part of the group that will be going around trying to make a team for these people. So we can have all sorts of really cool adventures next year as we get introduced to lots more inhuman characters.
Yes.
And if you notice the envelope or the folder that Sky got, its code name is Caterpillars on it, which I thought was an interesting little allusion, of course, to the metamorphosis that those creatures undergo on the way to becoming butterflies. So I think we'll hear definitely more about that as the season goes on. All right, so I've got a little bit of feedback here. First off, I just want to give a big shout out to Young Master Kyle for constantly retweeting all of our posts on Twitter. You are a very good agent, sir. Please keep up the hard work. We appreciate that. And then we have a follow-up email from Tim, who, if you recall, emailed us last week. He just wanted me to let you know, Josh, that you are still wrong, wrong, wrong.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, but then he adds, ha, ha,
okay,
at the end. So this was just about our discussion of Joss Whedon and I guess Joss Whedon not being happy about Coulson being in the coming back to life in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So
he's probably right that I'm wrong. I usually am, but that's okay. I'm going to stick by it.
He gave a couple other points that, you know, he concedes on, and he says it would also be interesting to research how many, quote, film deals Clark Gregg still has left with Marvel, knowing that stuff like that has been published about Robert Downey and Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans. So he just wanted to pass that on. Also, he sent a second follow-up email asking if we follow Hot Wheels cars, and I have to say not too closely because I don't want to get into a rear-end collision. But he sent us a picture of a recent released S.H.I.E.L.D. car, which I have not seen one of these in person. I don't know if you had or had heard about these.
Not yet, no.
It's pretty cool. There was a Captain America one in the picture and a S.H.I.E.L.D. one. And he goes, it sells for under $1. It's exclusive to Walmart. And it says Nick Fury on the packaging, but it's just a generic S.H.I.E.L.D. car. It's a black. It's not quite one of the Hummers. And not quite what Nick Fury drove in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, but it's...
Is it something you could trap Cal with?
Yeah, you could probably do that. It looked like an Outback, like maybe a bigger kind of Outback. I'm not very up on my cars. Anyway, it's black, and it's got the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo on the door. So he said sometimes they can be found with other Hot Wheels, but he found them about 2 weeks ago. It was just in a floor bin with like 8 of the cars in the bicycle section, so... Not bad for a buck.
Yeah, that's very cool. I like junk like that.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. And Tim, if you do happen to see any around in the area, why don't you grab us a couple? I'll pay you back. So, all right. And finally, in our references section here, we've got Cal taking off and fully transforming into Mr. Hyde. Something that I think we've anticipated for a long time. And as I said earlier, my anticipation might not have completely been paid off, but that's okay. Coulson references Cap in referencing like a super soldier serum, which is what they were figuring that Cal was trying to do. It was also good that they realized that he kind of was like a Trojan horse, and that, you know, they didn't just kind of blindly bring him in without, you know, actually having Simmons work on something. So that was more smart writing, I think.
Yeah, I think you don't want to make him look stupid. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, they, for the most part, write a really smart show here. The female Inhuman, the Ginger Ninja, girl had powers very reminiscent of a character in Marvel Comics called Madrox, the Multiple Man, which they, I think they had done this in one of the X-Men movies. I thought it was done here much better, the effect.
Yeah,
of
and
someone.
Yeah, Ginger Ninja is a way better name, too.
Yeah. And then Mac had mentioned a brother that he wanted to bicycle down to Baja with. I can't remember if we had we ever heard about a brother before?
Not that I remember.
I'm just wondering if it was Cheese, if that's his name. But I then realized that Mac would be his last name, and Alfonso is Mac's first name. So that's a stupid joke then, because that doesn't make any sense.
They call him Mac. That would work.
Yeah. What? they wouldn't call his brother Cheese, though, because his last name would be Mac also. So it would be Mac and Mac, I guess. Okay. I don't know. So anyway, well, thank you guys so much for tuning in for another exciting season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's had its ups and downs, but I think it ended, that we both agree it ended on a really, really strong high note here. Josh and I will be back for season 3, but hopefully you will not have to wait that long. We do try to do monthly specials throughout the summer. So if you guys have any ideas of anything you'd like to hear us talk about during our summer specials, please write in and let us know. We'd be happy to take your suggestions. And Josh, I'm going to ask you to come up with some ideas yourself so we can figure out what we're going to do to entertain these nice people while the show's off.
I think we're going to talk about mac and cheese, possibly. And no, I
awesome.
Yes, no, actually, I have some ideas, and I will discuss them with you, and we'll come up with some cool things. Some
excellent.
Cool some things.
Ah, there you go. Very good. Well, so anyway, thanks for joining us again on another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and we look forward to talking with you guys real soon.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this whole season, and we hope you enjoyed talking about it with us. And if you did, make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. Or if you want to get a hold of us, leave us messages and tell us your thoughts. And again, as always, you know, disagree with me like Tim does. You can contact us, email shield@randomchatter.com or on Twitter @agentspodcast, or you can get on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can also check out the other podcasts Josh and I do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Also, check out our season 1 coverage for Agent Carter Case Files, and look forward to the second season of that in probably 2016. You can find them all archived very nicely at randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in iTunes through the store or through Stitcher or Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about it. Sounds like a lot of you have been doing that. We've been getting a lot more people on our Facebook page, which is always great. Hope you guys are enjoying the show here as well. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s second season of Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.